You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Obviously, it's a hot take Tuesday. Let's go back to the phone lines right now. We've got, what, Phil in Willoughby?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
What's up, Phil?
What's up, Phil?
Hey, you know what? As a Browns fan, I'm 46 years old. You know what? I've had enough of this soap opera. I mean, it's just this organization has been a total embarrassment this year. We have two seasons of Johnny. You know, in 2014, whoever chose him to wreck the league. Well, you know what? They're wrecking the team because we chose him over two quarterbacks that are established right now in Bridgewater and Carr. You know, play like a Brown, that's not Johnny. I'm sorry, guys. And this coming Monday Night Football, I guarantee you, Gruden, Tirico, that's the first thing they're going to talk about is the dysfunction, the wasted draft picks, oh, yeah, and what Johnny's getting himself involved into. At this point, I don't care what he does anymore. I'm tired of the circus. I'm tired of Johnny. Whoever chose Johnny chose the Hollywood and the jersey sales. Thanks a lot, guys.
Appreciate the call, Phil. He's seen enough, and at this point, it's hard to blame him or blame anybody really for what's going on right now. It has certainly been disappointing that we're even discussing this. We'll go keep it on the phones right now. 216-578-0850. Our buddy Reg in Youngstown. Reg,
hey guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Hey, listen up. I just wanted to say right quick. Hey, Matt. First, I just want to say to you, just off it right fast. Man, I don't know what our coach up at Ohio State was doing this last week in that game, man.
Bro, I need to call plays.
Yeah, I tell you what, if I didn't think better, Matt, I would have thought the guy was trying to lose the game for that.
I agree.
I'm serious.
Don't even get me started. We're doing a Brown show here, bro.
Right. Yeah.
I
okay.
hear you, man.
Okay. Hey, this is what I wanted to say, man. As far as the Browns go, guys, I just think that the whole organization, from the owner on down to me, that's just how Red see it. I just think it's very dysfunctional, man. And I'm at the point right now, guys, I hate to say it, Nate, I hate to say it, but I'd rather see the Browns, not even have a team if that's the best they can put out on the field, man. That's how I feel, really.
I think that I understand that, and certainly people are, you know, disappointed right now, and certainly so am I. I think that, you know, when it does turn around, and I know people will see, you've been hearing that for I can't even imagine how many years, longer than certainly than I've even been here, and it's got to be so frustrating. I can only imagine. And to just have, it's one thing to have your football team come out and compete and be close, etc. It's another thing that there seem to be embarrassing situations happening repeatedly with this team and repeatedly with this organization, and people are just kind of, you can tell there's a level of frustration right now about this football team that I have never sensed before.
Right. And you know what's most frustrating for me is, as you look at, we'll call it 2015 as a whole, from, you know, losing the last five games of 14 that left a bad taste in your mouth, that turned into 15 kind of so wronged. And then the NFL draft came along, and there's, you know, the highs and lows along with that. Did we pick the right guys? Did we not? You get into training camp, and then the season had started, and you really just start to weigh. And this is what I do personally in life, is like you start to weigh pros and cons. And in this case, is you start to weigh positives versus negatives, you know. And it just seems like 2015, there's been eight negatives that are the results of the loss. You know, there's Johnny in treatment. You know, you get this, and it just seems like insurmountable for a Browns fan that you're just going to be thrown up on full of negative. And, you know, you're going to have to whittle through so many negatives to find positives. And yet this fan base shows up 67,000 strong, you know, in their 8 or 10 opportunities to get down to First Energy to root, you know, for the Brown and Orange and, you know, and bark like a dog in the dog pound. And so there's some resiliency, and that's what makes Cleveland so great and Cleveland the sports town it is. And I do think of the day when that is, I'm not going to be the guy that's going to, you know, going to say next year or 2 years from now or 5 years from here now. It's just, I know this town, and I think they're going to get it through the Cleveland Cavaliers, deserves a winner, but this is a football town. This is a football state, and they want to root for these Browns, and when it turns around, it will be the dancing in the streets, as you always say, Nathan.
Yes, they will be. Can't, Please, can we get there? Can we fast forward?
Get a win. I'll dance in the streets for a win.
Can we fast forward to the dancing portion of the program? Melvin in New Jersey, welcome to the show.
Hey guys, thanks for letting me on.
You got it, bro.
I figured it out.
All right.
I figured it out, man. The guy, the kids, they don't want to play for Penn. They just don't. Johnny don't want to play. I'm like, you have to take Johnny in. You know, his coach needs to be his best friend. Okay, by stringing him along, pulling him, putting him out, let the kid play. How are we gonna know we have the next six games for next season? Okay, I'm like, everything is Johnny. Johnny did this. Johnny did that. Johnny hasn't did anything really. Come on, man. Get a kid a
boy. Listen, this is all I can tell you is based on what we heard from Mike Penn. What we heard from Mike Penn sounded like a coach who told Johnny Manziel what was expected of him over the weekend and that Johnny Manziel didn't hold up his end of the bargain, which is frustrating and disappointing on so many levels for all of us. I want to see Johnny Manziel play. I want Johnny Manziel, if he doesn't have a problem, let's not forget he was in rehab earlier this year, but if he doesn't have a problem, and that's what he likes to do, I go to the clubs off-season and knock yourself out. There's nothing wrong with that. Just you had an opportunity here to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. You were named it. You had a bye week. Just chill out. If you want to party in your house, party in your house. You want to hang out to meet, watch tape, play Madden, and do whatever you want to do. There is a time and a place for everything. And it's unfortunate. And I'm not judging Johnny right or wrong. What I'm saying is, given what was clearly, it seems, the perception based on the comments and what we're even discussing today, that there was an understanding between a head coach and his starting quarterback that seems that trust seems to have been violated, that we have to be talking about this. That, to me, is what is the most frustrating aspect of all of it.
It is. It is. And you finally get to the point where you feel like you've seen enough, you know, in the small snippets of the Bengals and Steelers game to be able to turn the keys over to Johnny Manziel. And yet, only in Cleveland will those keys be taken back without playing a football game. That, to me, is we've referenced frustrating, we've referenced disappointing, to me, is embarrassing. And that same conversation that we had maybe even yesterday or last week about Josh Gordon, you know, we're going to look like a genius when he gets through 12 months and he earns that right and opportunity to appeal and to be reinstated into the National Football League and become a member of the Cleveland Browns. But all the bad that someone does when you're linked to an organization drags that organization down. And right now, Johnny Manziel's doing that. He had an opportunity to right that ship and chose otherwise.
Certainly, certainly does. By the way, now we have Chipotle with E. coli in Ohio. We're talking about this.
I've strayed from
Chipotle. The Buckeyes have lost.
What is going on?
Bad for Ohio. Let's go, Cavs.
Target and Walmart have canceled Black Friday sales.
They have?
No.
Why would they do that?
Only in Ohio?
That seems silly to me. All right. 216-578-0850. Let's go now to Tom in Cleveland. Tom, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nathan. Hi, Matt.
How are you, man?
Hey. Listen, I listen to your talk show. I listen to you guys all the time, and I listen to other shows. And the first thing you hear some callers say is, well, we don't know what he went to rehab for. I think the minute he came out of rehab and the Browns got a whiff that he was partaking in anything, whether it's alcohol, drugs, or anything, I got to think with the professionals and the doctors on the staff that they were severely disappointed in this.
I think so, too.
It's a big but. I mean, you go. Let's face it. To go to rehab for alcohol, they don't say you. It's not. It's a known that it's. You don't come out and use drugs, or vice versa. You went in for cocaine. Okay, well, you go out and drink. That's not the way it goes. And I think the Browns were severely disappointed. I do believe his days are numbered here. And that's really all I have to say.
And I don't think you're necessarily wrong about that. And it's unfortunate, but it does seem to be that so far your at least on-field return on your investment in Johnny Manziel has not, the positives have not come close to outweighing the negatives and the circus
right?
and the
no.
hoopla and
no.
everything else that you've no. been dealing with. Frank in Cincinnati, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, man.
Happy early Thanksgiving to you.
Same to you as
too.
Well.
Well, see, this is my thought if we're going to have to look towards next week. And if he does decide to bench Johnny, what do you guys think about the idea of not starting McCown and starting Austin Davis and seeing what you have?
I personally would be okay with that. I would at that. To me, where you are this season, it's just about seeing
future.
You know,
Because, I mean, this is a guy that's under contract for the next 2 years as well, 16 and 17.
Right. Yeah, so I would I would be fine with that.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win. I think you either get to see what you have in him, and if that works out, great. And then, obviously, you hate to say this, but if he loses, then that just makes it even more of a higher chance that you get the first pick next year. So,
Just for the record, I'll say I do believe, based on at least my understanding of Mike Pettine, that if he is if Johnny Manziel is not starting on Monday, it will be Josh McCown. That would be fully my expectation.
I agree. 1,000%.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll get back to the phone lines, 216-578-0850. You guys have a lot to say today, and it certainly has been a good discourse. I know not everybody's going to agree with what we're saying and vice versa, but, you know, right now what seems like is at issue here, if you kind of peel it all away, it's not that he was drinking or not. It's what seems to me to be at issue is that Johnny Manziel's boss, or the person that controls his fate, in this case, Mike Pettine, sat down with him, laid out what was expected of him, and that was not lived up to. And so now the Browns find themselves in the what do we do about this situation. I think if you boil down, forget what he was doing or what he wasn't doing. It could have been Mike Pettine said, look, if you want to start on Monday, you got to go and do 20 leaps across Lou Groza Boulevard. And if he didn't do it, then that's the issue. It's what he was talked about versus and what the expectations that were clearly delineated to him and then what was lived up to or not.
Hey, don't touch the oven. It's hot. Don't touch the oven. It's hot. Don't touch the oven. It's hot. Ow, I burnt my finger. I told you. And that's exactly how elementary is that? That's parenting 101.
It is. And on a macro level, this is about, you know, respect for authority, respect for what's being told and expected of you. And I do agree with that. You know, when I was a lifeguard, back in my days as a lifeguard, when I ran a pretty tight ship.
With the speedos on?
In California, you know, it would have been obscene. I wore my long shorts, thank you very much. I would say to kids when they would run, and I would tell them, when you play with fire, you get burnt.
Oh, the thought of a kid running on concrete and the scuff.
Oh, it's brutal.
My stomach churns.
I've seen too many.
When my kids run on concrete, like, the fact that they're mine, it's like, oh, my
especially
stomach.
Especially because it was like the concrete at our pool is that concrete that had the teeny little
yeah,
like,
the little
raised, on.
Yes.
Oh, sliced like a ninja, cut like a razor blade, so fast.
Make
all right,
say.
We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.